Welcome to the Amazing Education Podcast. Powered by the Ames Community School District, I'm your host, Amy DeLashmet. On today's episode, we're joined by Ames High Principal, Dr. Paul Numedal. We're going to have an amazing conversation about what inspired him to go into school leadership, the rewarding aspects of his role, and his hopes and aspirations for the future of Ames High. Well, hello, Dr. Numedal. Thanks for joining us on the Amazing Education Podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing fine.
Great. Well, we are so glad you're here. Let's start with just background for people that don't know you. Tell us a bit about yourself and what brought you to the Ames Community School District. You're about to finish up your first year.
I am, and it's been a great year. I'll add that. Well, I'll give you the shorter story maybe. I am a native, Iowa native. I grew up in Decorah on a farm just north of Decorah. Went to UNI, and that's where I got my teaching degree. My background is in biology. Taught for a few years in Western Iowa, in mm-hmm. Terrell, Iowa, and then I actually taught in Cresco, Iowa. So okay. I wanted to get a little back closer to home, to Northeast Iowa. I love teaching. I think that's still who I am and makes up a big part of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be a better teacher, so after a couple years at Cresco, Howard Winnishick School District, I got a leave of absence to go get a master's degree in science education specifically.
Sure.
So I did take that year's leave of absence and went to the University of Iowa. It was a wonderful experience. I got asked to stay if I was interested in getting a PhD, which, hey, okay, I'm up for that. So more learning is good. So it was an incredible experience. So my background is really trained to be a researcher at a larger university or research one institution. Was incredible. I know I'm sitting in Iowa State country, but I truly got an incredible educational experience at Iowa. From Iowa, I then ended up in Colorado. Because I am interested in teaching and that's who I am, I went to a small college in Colorado Springs called Colorado College.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great experience there, but in my time, I started to wonder if what I learned in grad school as far as teaching and learning, I had never used it in K-12 education.
Hmm.
And I'm a big believer in I want to walk in those shoes in order to have more credibility, right?
Sure.
So I decided, much to the astonishment of my colleagues at the time, I resigned my position as a college professor, went back to teach high school science.
Oh,
so,
yeah
it was interesting. But I think it was a great decision. I then got a job teaching at Lewis Palmer High School, which is in Monument, Colorado, North Colorado Springs. There was about 2,200 kids there.
Mm-hmm.
Between 2,200 and 2,300 kids there at the time. And I could actually use what I learned as part of my graduate program and part of my research in the classroom. So that was wonderful to actually say, okay, there's one all about, you know, theory and how, you know, we think about teaching and learning, but what does that look like with the nuances of context in the classroom? I had a wonderful experience in Colorado. It took me anywhere from district office work around curriculum instruction to I worked for a nonprofit and traveled the country working with school districts on to improve their science and STEM education across the country. Decided I wanted to be back and really affect change at a building level. I started missing the kids and colleagues, especially when I'd spend about 2 years with a district and then leave and go then work with another district. Luckily, I got a position back in my my home school district where I started teaching at Lewis Palmer. And then was principal there, associate principal there. And through some things with family, thought, you know what, it's time to get closer to family.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's family lives in Seattle, and my family still lives in Decorah area. So We decided, hey, let's come back to Iowa.
Okay.
Cost of living's a little better than Seattle.
Sure.
Came through Humboldt, got a job at Humboldt, Iowa. So we went from kind of a small metropolitan area to a very small area. So
yeah.
it was a good change. My kids are incredibly resilient and did a nice job with the transition. I still longed for something the size of what I left. Lewis Palmer, Palmer mm-hmm. Ridge, about 1,500 kids in the high school, 1,500 to 2,000 kids. And Ames came up, and that mm-hmm. really kind of fit what I was used to and what I was looking for and yearning back to be in that size of school district in high school. And the job came open, and I applied, and I was lucky enough to get offered the position, and here I am. A long circuitous route, but that's me in my background. So.
No, and we are so glad that that path led you here.
Well, thank you.
You talked maybe a little bit about this, but you were talking about your journey, but what inspired you to become a high school principal, and how has this journey that you went on shaped your vision for education?
Yeah, so when I was looking at my master's degree, I remember talking with my principal at the time in Howard Winneshiek School. I said, his name is Charlie. I said, Charlie, I'm looking at, I want to be a building leader.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to know how to teach really well, right?
Sure.
I don't know if I can. For me, it was I want to know teaching really well so I can be that instructional leader I think a principal needs to be. I said, Charlie, what would you do? I'm kind of at a crossroads. I'm 26 years old. Charlie said, you know, if I were you, I would definitely look at that instructional leader piece and go get your master's in curriculum and instruction.
Yeah.
I was interested in, at the time, really how people learn and how knowing how humans learn, how does that influence how we teach, right?
Sure.
So that was really a very strong interest of mine. So I did go that route and decided to get my master's in curriculum instruction to better my instructional approach or instructional practice. That's when I got offered to say, hey, are you ever interested in a PhD, which I had thought of in the past, got pulled on, worked with some wonderful mentors and professors at the University of Iowa at the time, Bob Yeager, John Peenick, Jim Szymanski, Ed Pizzini, just a wonderful group of people who really had pushed the field of science ed in ways that were incredible, right? So it was a very enjoyable experience. I think that moment, right, going to grad school and really getting pushed to think deeply about how the human brain works or how we learn and how does that influence how we teach, that was really pivotal in shaping me on who I am as a leader today, especially a school building leader and how I approach it. I truly feel all humans have the capacity to learn at even high levels, but we go about it different ways. I don't believe there are people who can't learn at high levels. It's just how can we reach people and allow students access to whatever we're teaching them?
Sure.
How do we get to know what they already know, and how do we build on that, challenge that in ways that? Well, not to get too much into learning theory, but how we can change some of those schema and how we can make those different neural connections. It still fascinates me.
Sure.
Even though I've been out of that realm as far as research for a number of years now, it still fascinates me. So I think when I think about how people learn and how our teaching has to, if we're gonna want to teach effectively, we need to know how people learn, and then how do we teach, if that's how folks learn, how do we actually modify our teaching practice or shape our teaching practice to do so.
Yeah.
And that's still a great challenge today, right?
Yeah.
I think we're much farther in what we know about how people learn, how socio-cultural factors are part of the mix and the context. I don't know. It's just fascinating, and it still fascinates me.
It is fascinating. We're an ever-changing population. And so this is work that doesn't ever get completed because it's just evolving and changing, and there's always new ways and just different things coming into the perspective that change how we look at it. So it's really fascinating.
Yeah. So you bring up an interesting point, Amy, if I may, I won't expound too far on this, but I think part of then what you brought up is because things are changing and we're learning more, just about how people learn and how the context of, you know, how we're, where we're situated and
yeah.
influences all of that. Part of where I'm at as a and where I'm at in my career and how I view the idea of systems and organizations,
mm-hmm.
I come from it from a really organizational improvement and growth mindset type
sure.
of perspective. We can always do better. We can always improve. And we should be always trying to look for ways to improve and become better as a system,
mm-hmm.
as an organization. And I've made that really a lot of my work as a school leader, to actually look at the systems, processes, procedures, you know, what we do and how we can make those better. It's not that if what we're doing is necessarily bad, but we can always make things just
yep.
that much better for kids, for staff,
sure.
and for the community. So that's a big part of who I am. So anyway,
I won't
go down that path.
No. I think what you answered for our community is, you know, some of those rewarding aspects of this role that you play. And because of the ever-present challenges in an educational landscape, just how you're approaching that every day. And I think some of our listeners will find that very refreshing to hear your perspective on that. So I'm glad you went into that space.
Well, thank you.
So how do you foster a positive school culture that encourages both academic achievement and personal growth among students and staff?
Yeah, I think just even answering that question, having as a school building leader, if that truly is what you're committed to, then you personally have to have that stance, right? That's the
sure.
perspective that you take. And I truly believe that who I am as a leader and who I am as a human, I will constantly try to just become better every day, right? And that's just, I try to model that. I try to live that in my own personal life. So part of how do we work within an organization to promote that, part of that is, one, we just have to model that.
Sure.
I feel as a leader modeling that. And then not only model, but then how do you use that to drive the decisions
mm-hmm.
that you make each day? And those decisions could be anything from systems type decisions to instructional
sure.
decisions to
yeah.
attendance related decisions.
Yeah.
So thinking through that as you do make those decisions. Now, the other piece that I'll add to that is how do we really promote that sort of positive culture and climate? It is about getting better every day. So,
yeah.
So for example, I have a building leadership team,
mm-hmm.
and there we're looking at what are those big rocks that we need to work on.
Sure.
Right? And we've identified two big rocks that we're working on this year in particular. One is attendance,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think we all know that attendance, it just isn't, putting a punitive process in place is not going to get
sure.
kids to come back to school. Having an accountability type process may help, right?
Mm-hmm.
To say,
well,
kids
mm-hmm.
like, ooh, I don't think I should get that tardy because I don't, here's an example, I don't want to serve a detention.
Sure.
That might be with
sure.
some, but we know that a bigger part of that is, how do we get kids to want to come to school and
yes.
be part of that? So that
yes.
again goes to that positive school culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part, that's what as a team my BLT is wrestling with, to put together a framework of
sure.
how do we create a culture in which the expectation is coming to school, but kids want to come to school.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that would be part of the other piece we're working on, or the other big rock is, how do we make sure that kids are successful, right? That
mm-hmm.
we reduce just the number of F grades, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do we make sure kids have the access to the content and the support they need to actually achieve at high levels? And right now, grades are kind of a proxy for achievement. There's other ways that we could potentially look at
yeah.
achievement as well. But again, how do we get kids here, provide those supports,
yep.
right? Have that positive interaction with other students, the teacher, and the curriculum or the
mm-hmm.
content in order to learn, grow, and then achieve. So
yeah. God, I love everything that you're saying.
Thank you.
You've mentioned so many things that just mirror, and obviously they should. They mirror those big rocks that we're looking at from a district-wide perspective. And so just hearing a little bit about the actions that are going behind some of that and the way that those big rocks align throughout the district, I think that's really great for our listeners to hear. As education evolves, what strategies do you employ to adapt and innovate in order to meet the challenging needs of the students that are coming through Ames High?
Yeah, that is a great question in itself. So this is what I tell people. I've been in education 30 plus years, so I've been around a while.
Yeah.
And folks will say, hey, man, students aren't the same as when you started teaching. I'm going to date myself in 1992. Yes, that's when I started teaching. Students aren't the same. And I would argue that students are the same. They still have the same, they have the same thought patterns. They still have, sometimes you wonder if that frontal lobe, if they're actually, if thought is making it through that frontal lobe. And again, teenagers, right? Sometimes we're a little impulsive. But I think teenagers themselves are the same. It's the context that's changed.
Sure.
And it's how they live within that context. I can tell you, in 1992, when I started teaching, I wouldn't have been able to say, in 2024, we're going to have these little pocket computers in miniature computers in our pockets that we'll be able to instantly communicate with folks across the globe. That wasn't in my imagination anyway.
No.
Maybe I'm not that imaginative. So I do think it's the context that kids are living in that's now different. Mm-hmm. So one is, how do we know? How does that context influence kids?
Mm-hmm.
And how can we make sure that we're actually sensitive to that context, but also responsive to what kids need?
Sure.
So part of that is just knowing kids, right? And knowing what kids need, how they respond. And for me, I mean, as a building leader, I think what's very helpful is I do have high school children.
You do.
So that helps me understand that context pretty well. But the other piece, along with knowing the context, knowing your kids, providing a little bit of grace to kids, because we all know that the context and environment in which they live in is much different from what I grew up with different pressures and challenges. But I also think then, as far as going, kind of getting back to your question, how do we be responsive to the changes and the innovations, is one, knowing our kids.
Yep.
But then two, also knowing what's out there. What does best practice suggest? You know, what's some things that maybe our neighbors are doing that we need to look at, neighboring districts? What are some of those best practices that we should be looking into, thinking about? What does research suggest? Now, we have book studies, we do those sorts of things, but also kind of falling out of some of the work we do around our big rocks or those big issues or problems.
Yeah.
Do require us to dive into the research.
Sure.
Do require us to think in innovative ways, because there's really three things that we have, right? And I learned this back when during my nonprofit days. We'll have time, right? You get time, money, and resource. You get those three. Those are the big three you look at, right?
Yep.
And if it's really good, you'll get two.
Yep.
Usually you get one, but you hardly ever get all three.
Mm-hmm.
So part of us then is, as we think about how we can best support kids in the context in which they and we are living in today, thinking about those big three. You know, how do we use our resource, time, and money in a way that's innovative and creative, support kids, and aligns itself to best practice and research?
Absolutely. And thinking about those three items, it's really interesting you brought this up. I was just doing some enhanced learning about project management. And it was coming from that same perspective and how unbalanced things are when your time is far greater than what's going into the other parts of the project, and how to find a better balance between all of those. So I think that's a unique perspective that you're bringing, in that we have to look at all of those items, because if all we're doing is throwing time into it, we may not be getting the results
Correct.
That we're wanting to get. And we may also, there could be implications on the cost side of things, or other areas that we just haven't taken into consideration because we inadvertently threw everything into time. So it that really is how you have to look at everything to make sure that you have a balanced way of coming at it and you're able to achieve the most success that you possibly can. So we know Ames is really invested in public education. I think, you know, in my time working here, I would think maybe in your time working here, this community is very invested in what goes on within our public schools, and we love that. Coming with that, how do you collaborate with parents and community stakeholders and teachers along the way to create a supportive and enriching learning environment for all students?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So, I'm actually glad you asked that. Always the first year, right? For me anyway, as a building leader, safety, security, knowing the lay of the land is the first priority. Yep. So the first year, it's really kind of getting your bearings, making sure we do have safe, secure environment. We've got what we need, so kids really feel as comfortable as we can, so they can learn at very, very high levels. What I haven't done yet, and which I will do, input from our stakeholders, right?
Sure.
Love doing stakeholder surveys just to say, hey, what are we doing well? What could we improve? Again, it goes back to who I am. If for me, as a person who really wants to have an organization that has a continuous improvement focus, we need to know what the community thinks, specifically our parents, our kids, and our staff. So how do I get input? One is, you know, next year I'll work with you, Amy. It's coming, but I do want to put together a stakeholder survey. What are we doing well? What could we do better?
Yeah.
And it's not to say, hey, we'll make everything that everybody says we'll make happen.
Yeah.
It's no, we're going to make thoughtful decisions on the feedback we get. So that would be one way. Another way, and I haven't done this yet at Ames, again, my first year, getting the lay of the land.
Sure.
Coffee and conversation.
Yeah.
So I do feel like, and I do want to be a person or a principal who actually is seen by folks, and I haven't done a great job of that if I look back and reflect where we're at this year, but actually meeting with folks in the community in a very informal setting to talk a little bit about maybe once a month or every other month what's going on at the school, and there they could even ask questions if they do have questions of me.
Yeah.
You know, some of the other pieces that we're actually looking at, and I put this up in front of the staff, we are looking at our, what was our grade communications this year?
Sure.
And we did have, I think, three big buckets around parental communication. At our last PD, we've actually dug into that a little more to say, okay, we have these three big buckets. We really focused on one bucket this year. How can we improve our parental engagement and really work on these other buckets, which were parental engagement and then the problem-solving piece.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if I got to your whole question, and I feel like I'm starting to ramble.
No. You did. I mean, what you're detailing is really what the question asks, and it's, you know, creating a supportive and enriching learning environment for all students. Sometimes we have to listen to know what that is. And we have to be willing to take the input from community members, staff members, but yet find that common ground in those three things. I think anytime you, you bring in a lot of public input, you could get really lost in the weeds mm-hmm. with it. So you have to find those commonalities, and those are the places where you embark. And then from there, you can just keep growing and achieving and attaining and doing what you need to do. But I think you touched on a lot of the big ones. And even down to, you know, how do we better communicate with our parents? So our parents feel like engaged members with their students' education. I know I've been asked by parents, how can I engage better? How can I support the school better? How can I be there for my student? Parents have those questions. They want to do the best they can, but don't always know how or don't know the resources that are available to them. I mean, I've had one kid graduate through the system. Now I have my second coming through. There are still things I don't know as a parent, and I work for the district. So I think there's always things we can improve upon from that perspective, and then bringing our community in, because we know we have a lot of community partners that would love to be able to be a resource for our students, or to let them know about potential job opportunities locally, or just educational aspects. There's so many things in the community. We could probably talk about that portion forever, but yes, glad that's a big look for next year, because that also aligns with our strategic plan. So we know that'll be a big focus area for next year.
Great.
So we might have some aspiring educators or students thinking about going into education or being a school leader who are really passionate. They want to make a difference in the lives of others. What advice would you give them?
Follow your dreams, right? I can, from my perspective, and the reason why I became involved in education, because I was looking at different things, mm-hmm. specifically in grad school. It was either stay on my path, right, of curriculum, instruction, assessment. I was really getting strongly pulled into the sciences. I had professors as part of my doctoral work saying, why aren't you kind of jumping over here to the biology, ecology side of things? And then was also thinking about medicine, right? So I had three different of avenues I was looking at. But I think what it came down to, and I think where education fit really well for me, one is it's never a dull moment. When you work with humans, especially high schoolers, it is never the same day twice. It just isn't.
No.
And just watching, knowing that you're helping support kids grow and learn and realize their potential is really rewarding. You know, part of it for me is, as a teacher, I love to, I felt I knew my content really well, mm-hmm. right? And then I love to say, okay, how can I, with what I know about content and where I know where those kids are thinking, how can I bridge that gap to help them understand? And again, it probably goes back to what I really studied, you know, how people learn, mm-hmm. but how do I help that light bulb come on? Because I feel for me and for others, learning should be enjoyable. And it can be enjoyable, but it's really hard work. Mm-hmm. And to really learn at deep levels, man, it just takes a lot of effort, right? Mm-hmm. And being able to work with folks and support them and have high standards and expectations, and then provide supports along the way so humans or kids realize their potential, man, that is the most rewarding thing ever. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing I think I take to even as a leader, right? How can we build systems, right? And work with people and tap potential in people to support kids to learn at high levels, right? Mm-hmm. And to realize their potential, to know that, man, there's a career out there I'm really interested in, or a career pathway, and how do we help kids get there? You know, I often wonder, you know, what draws me to high school? And I got to tell you, it is never the same day twice. Kids, high school students, man, there is untapped potential there that just.
Oh, yes.
And it's how can we kind of rein in all that energy and that untapped potential to help them really think deeply and learn at high levels? Because at some point, these kids, this is going to be their world, right? We're all just stewards. We're kind of passing through, right? And knowing that you've made a difference in the lives of groups of people that are actually going to then make decisions and influence the world, it is truly awe-inspiring. So I say for those folks who are interested in education and school leadership, go for it. You probably won't be mega rich monetarily. But I got to tell you, just the richness in life experiences is amazing. It really is amazing. So,
and the richness in what you reap from what you've put out there.
That is
a fulfillment that goes just so deep to your soul that you can't measure that.
Yeah.
It's really incredible.
We need good teachers, right?
We do.
So, yeah, I encourage folks to, if you're interested.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have to keep getting people into the career because we know that people don't work forever and lives change and all of that. We need to keep having new thoughts, new ways of teaching. Yep. New individuals coming into the profession. So we need people to look at that and want to go into that career path. It's hard. It is hard work. But that reward is, I hope, what fuels people every day to keep going.
Yeah. You know, you bring up an interesting point about getting new people in the profession and new thought and new creativity. You know, I think of just AI, right?
Yeah.
To be quite honest, I think AI, somebody's going to listen to this and say, oh, you said this back then. I think it's going to be a game changer in education.
Just the
way we approach teaching and learning and how we use that tool in a way to... maybe even make how we teach more robust. It's definitely going to change the way we teach.
It will.
And it's an exciting time. And, you know, to be honest, as a school leader, I haven't immersed myself with AI, but I guarantee there are kids who know AI. Yep. And getting those kids who know AI to think about how do we use this effectively in teaching and learning, that's what we need. So when you do talk about new minds, creativity, absolutely. I mean, there's an example of... You know, I'm not going to be some sort of person that says AI is bad. No, we just need to know how to use it effectively.
So. Exactly. It is part of our world. And I know when these new AI tools that were coming out, the example I can give, when ChatGPT came out, we were flooded with media requests. You know, what's the school going to do? And... Well, we're going to do what we do all the time. We're going to learn about this new piece of technology, and we're going to teach our kids how to use it in a responsible manner. It is a tool that isn't really going anywhere. And I think back to, I feel like that was not that long ago, and where we are today, and it has boomed.
Right.
And so... Yes, it's a piece of technology that's out there. It's going to change how we do everything. And we have to figure out how we're going to embrace it and incorporate it into what we do every day, but do so in a responsible manner. And I think that's the hinging point is how do you do it and do it responsibly? Because there are really unethical things that can happen. And that's where the educational moment comes in with students to say, hey, we have this tool and it can be used this way or it can be used this way. And there's a huge difference between those two things. And let's talk about the responsible way to do it. Yeah. So there's big things on the horizon. Like it is it is an exciting time to be in education.
It certainly is.
It absolutely is. So, okay, National Principals Day is coming up. What message would you like to share with your school community and fellow principals across the state of Iowa?
Yeah, wow, that's a big one. So what can I share with the school community? With Ames in particular, we have just an awesome student body here at Ames. We've got an awesome staff. We have an awesome school community. I really think, now being here a year, mm-hmm. getting sort of my sea legs, if you will, man, we can do great things together. And I mean great things, meaning students, staff, and the Ames community. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited. It is National Principals Day, so probably to my principal colleagues, if anybody's listening, we appreciate you, right? And hang in there, right?
Yes.
We know that being a leader in education isn't probably the easiest of times.
No.
But all the work to my colleagues, the work that they're doing, it is truly needed work, and mm-hmm. it is appreciated. So even if we don't hear it all the time, so
it is, and that's a good reminder that being a building leader and a principal can sometimes feel a little isolating, and so it's good to let everybody know we see you and we appreciate you.
Yeah. So just out to my colleagues, keep doing what you're doing. So yeah.
Okay, so final question, mm-hmm. looking ahead, what are your hopes and aspirations for the future of Ames High, and how do you envision your role in shaping this future?
Yeah. So, not to get too just general, I do believe, it talks about in our statement that, to be one of the premier districts.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely believe we can be there. I think we've got, like I said, the community, the staff, the students to really do great things. And when I talk about being a premier district, everybody's like number one. I think even for me, premier is if we're a premier district, we are truly committed to the learning of all students.
Mm-hmm.
And they are achieving at high levels, right?
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like for that student, in the point where they are realizing that, one, they have a potential, two, and to be honest, and I believe this, right, to my very soul, I think humans have unrealized potential. I think all of us do. I don't know if we ever truly realize our potential. I just don't, just because it's the context
I'd agree.
We live in, and contexts change, right? So I think 300 years ago, folks wouldn't have believed what humans might be doing now, or even 500 years ago. And I think part of what we do as a school is to help students realize that you do have just a wealth of potential.
Mm-hmm.
So part of my role, and I truly believe this, one person can't make an organization great.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one person. So I think a leader can help with that vision, can model that vision, but it's that idea of it's an organization working together that make great things happen, right? So it's how do we work with people and the great ideas of folks who are part of that organization and that, I guess the high school, if we're saying the high school, mm-hmm. to build on strengths in order to work together mm-hmm. to support all students in their learning. And how do I do that? Man, work with people, find out what they really do well, where their passions lie. And let people do what they know how to do, right? Provide the support, provide the time, provide the resource, but allow them to do what they do and do it well, right?
Yes,
And that's where I'm from, right? So I truly, I don't believe in this fearless leader running ahead with the charge, and I don't. I think it's groups of people coming together around a common purpose, knowing what they do, knowing the passions and strengths of people and supporting that so they can do what they do really well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Fantastic. What a great way to close out this podcast. We thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Numedal.
Well, thank you.
And an opportunity, hopefully, for our community and other listeners out there worldwide just to get a know a little bit more about what's it like to be a principal. So
well, I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you, Amy.